Blessed be the name of the Lord. We are grateful for this hour that the Lord has helped us to come this far. We look back to the time we began looking at the way God meets with his people. And we are grateful for coming to understand how to walk with God from the book of Romans. We want to focus particularly in Romans chapter 2, and we want to do from verses 1 to 16. And what we want to consider this hour is how we can win the souls of people through God's righteous judgments. How to win the souls of people, of believers, through God's righteous judgment. Judgment means decisions. When we talk about judgment, we are saying that God judges the people through information and through the truth. God will never judge us without having had enough data, enough evidence, and even be able to propagate and that one and tell you what you have not done well. And so this day we are looking at this portion of the scriptures, and this portion of the scripture, Romans 2:1-16, we focus on God's righteous decisions while dealing with the son or with the sons that he has invited in his family table. To understand this session, we need to imagine what table life was like between the firstborn son and the prodigal son after he returned home, as it is recorded in the book of Luke 15, verses 11 to 32. This is the parable of the prodigal son. This is the parable of the loving father. And we are saying what could have happened when finally they came, when this prodigal son came back home. In this story, the father had accepted the prodigal son, while the firstborn son judged his brother and condemned him. You remember the words that he told the father when the prodigal son came back home, and the father threw a party or began a party because this son had come back. When his sibling or his brother came back, and he was asking what is happening, and he was told his brother has come back, he refused to come into the table. He refused to come into the feast because he felt that his brother had already squandered and destroyed his part. And so he was very angry. And so we are looking at how life was like after he came back. And we are looking at the book of Romans to help us, the whole of it, to help us how the relationship was between these two boys and with the father. Because this story of the book of Romans is about the firstborn son that represent the Jews and the secondborn son that represent the Gentiles, and how the Jews felt that that they were righteous. They felt that they were better than his brother, and they had already condemned his own brother because of that. So the words here in this story of Luke 15, these words spoken here could fit very well the words the father of the two sons said to the firstborn son concerning the father's righteous judgment. So what I want us to do here, as we look at God's or the father's righteous judgment, is to help us understand that God The father always makes the right decisions. And this story of the book of Romans 2 from verses 1 to 16 give us about five things that can help us understand how God makes decisions. When he says they are righteous judgment, they are righteous decisions. How does God make judgment? How does God make, you know, choices? How does he make a judgment that you can say they are righteous? It's true that the firstborn son felt the spirit of superiority over his brother. He had felt the spirit of entitlement over his brother. He had felt the spirit of being bossy over his brother. And these were unrighteous judgment, the Jewish unrighteous judgment over the Gentiles. And so when the father comes here, he starts to ask a very difficult question. And he is saying in the book of Romans, you may think, Romans 2, verse 1, you may think you can condemn such people. That is referring to the to what had happened in Romans chapter 1 and verses 16 to 32, and where God now was condemning the firstborn son because of suppressing the truth. You know, in that chapter 1, the firstborn son, which is a Gentile, God had already spoken, and because they were suppressing the truth and they were worshiping created beings, they were not giving God all the glory. And God had said that he had already condemned them, and he has given them over to their futile thinking. But now the second born or the firstborn son, the Jew here, they felt that they were more righteous. When God was dealing with this Gentile behavior of suppressing the truth, the Jews were happy. So God now comes to speak to in chapter 2 of Romans and say, you may think, you Jews, or the firstborn son, you may think you can condemn such people, or you can condemn your brother, but you are just as bad. Can you imagine? They were thinking that they were better, but God is coming to say, the father is coming to say, you may think you are better, but you are as bad as your firstborn son. It's true your brother left home. It's true your brother went prodigal. But you may think you are better at home, but you are as bad. And you have no excuse. When you say they are wicked, or when you say that the Gentiles are wicked and should be punished, you are condemning yourself. I like this. When God comes to rebuke the Israelites' behavior or the firstborn son judgment, who are saying that the Jews, the Gentiles should be condemned and they are bad because they ran away, then the father faced the firstborn son and said, you think that we should condemn your brother, but you are as bad. And when you are saying such thing that they should be punished, you are condemning yourself. For you who judge others, do this very same thing. Now, what does it mean that when God says that the two brothers, they were prodigal? Because this is where we normally say the firstborn son was as prodigal, as lost, because prodigal means lost, as the firstborn. As the second one, the one got lost when he ran away from home, but the one who was left home, he was also lost. Can you imagine? Because he says you do the same things. And we know that God in his justice will punish anyone who does such things. That's what God is saying. Since you judge others for doing these things, why don't you think you can avoid why do you think you can avoid God's judgment when you do the same things? The father is still speaking to the firstborn son, that you think you are going to avoid God's judgment. You think you are more righteous And God is saying, you are as bad as them. You are as lost. And then he continues, do you see how wonderful, kind, tolerant, and patient God is with you? Does this mean nothing to you? Can't you see his kindness is intended to turn you from your sin? Now, God is turning, or the first, or the father of the two sons who represented God here, when he would speak to his firstborn son who refused to come to the party, because this is the person now we are looking at. He refused to come to the party. He was angry and he could not accept his brother. He judged him as one to be condemned. But the father is turning to him and saying, you do the same thing. You should also be punished. And why do you think you are going to avoid to be judged because of this? And don't you think that I am supposed to have judged you, or God is supposed to have judged you? But the fact that God has not judged you, the firstborn son, is because of his kindness. And that kindness once is intended to make you turn from your sin. So he turns to the firstborn son. And he continues verse 5. But because you are stubborn and refuse to turn from your sin, you are storing up terrible punishment for yourself. For a day of anger is coming when God's righteous judgment will be revealed. He will judge everyone according to what they have done. He will judge he will give eternal life to those who keep doing good, seeking after the glory or an honor and immortality from that God offers. But he will pour out his anger and wrath to those who live for themselves, who refuse to obey the truth and instead lives for their lives of wickedness. There will be trouble and calamity for everyone who keeps on doing what is evil, for the Jews first and the Gentiles following. But there will be glory and honor and peace from God for all who do good, for the Jews first and for the Gentiles second. For God does not show favoritism. When the Gentiles sin, they will be destroyed, even though they never had God's written law. And the Jews who do have the law will be judged, but by what law? By that law, when they fail to obey it. For merely listening to the law does not make us right with God. It is obeying the law that makes us right with God. Even Gentiles who do not even have God's written law show that they know his law has when they instantly obey it, even without having read it. They demonstrate that God's law is written in their hearts, for their own conscience and thoughts even accuse them and tell them they are doing right. And this is the message I proclaim, that the day is coming when God, through Christ, will judge everyone's secret life. Now, what we are saying here is that there are a few things that have been revealed about God's righteous decisions, both for the firstborn son and for the secondborn son, both for the Jews and for the Gentile. And these are, let me just mention five of them. One of the righteous judgment is, one day God's righteous judgment will be revealed to unrepentant sons. I think that's very critical, that one day God's righteous judgment, a time will come in the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's going to judge or to reveal his judgment on the repentant sons, a day of God's anger to them that are doing wrong, and to those who are doing right, he will be able to repay them. Number two, God's judgment, because they are righteous, is based on what everyone has done, either good or evil. You see, this is the second thing, that a day will come when judgment will be done, but God is waiting for you to repent. But two, God is going to use, or the Father is going to use what we have done, Nobody will be judged without what they have not done, either good or evil. And that's number two. Those who have done good, they will be repaid for the good they have done. Those who have done wrong, God's anger and wrath will be done or be revealed to them. Number three, Jews who obey the Father's truth for Jews refuse to obey Father's truth to go for their son. You see, the Jews, they are told that they are as bad as the Gentiles. The Gentile had suppressed the truth by refusing to accept that truth. When they were sent the truth, they exchanged the truth for a lie. But the Jews who remained at home, they suppressed the truth by not obeying the Father to take the word to his brother. When God sent them, it is like that for the two prodigal son, the father expected the son that was at home to go for his brother. But by refusing not to go and obey his father's truth, that was suppressing truth. Number four is that God does not show favoritism when dealing with what we have done. It is based on the truth. That's what he said. Number five, Gentiles will be judged even without the written law because they did not have it. God will use the instinct law written in their hearts and what we call the general revelation, because they are without an excuse, as we have discovered. So they will be judged. But God is going to use the law he has written in their heart and the law that he has given them, what is called by the things that has been created. And finally, number five, is it number six? Yes, is that Jews will be judged with the law that they have received from the Father. The Jews will be judged by the written law, and that is the righteous judgment of our Father to everyone who sins. God, help us to obey your law. Help us to make judgment that are based on the truth, and to look up to you for mercy, in Jesus' name.